In light of what is happening in our country today, how can the church remain silent, or at least silent for the most part? We're going to talk about that right now with Charlie Rodriguez, who's a Christian publisher and lecturer and author. His website is tanglewoodpublishing.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Charlie, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Sure. Well, here's a story that came from the news recently. There was a group called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden, and they made their presence known before the 2020 election. And then, of course, Joe Biden got elected, and there's some questions about all that. But anyway, then that group claimed to be disappointed when Biden turned around and basically said, okay, we're going to scrap the Hyde Amendment, which means that now taxpayers will be on the bill for paying for abortion. And somehow this pro-life group, so-called pro-life group, you know, felt, oh, we've been betrayed by Biden. You know, he said he wouldn't do that. But actually, in the 2019 time of the campaign trail, he did say he would abandon the Hyde Amendment. So you see, it's kind of a mess here as far as churches and what's going on in the political process right now.
Jerry, I got your email on that, and I was not aware that they said that they were now surprised, but that it doesn't surprise me that they are surprised.
Yep.
Jerry, I know at least one person in that group, Dr. John Perkins, a very fine Christian leader in Jackson, Mississippi. I previously lived there. I'm in the Dallas area now, and to think the world of Dr. Perkins. Mm-hmm. But the only reason that I can come up with, Jerry, for that statement is that they're just not aware of what's going on. They may think of politics as dirty, or there's a host of reasons. But I would think probably top of the list, they're uninformed as to how our political system works. And I want to take you back, Jerry, if I can, a couple of years to an op-ed, New York Times op-ed that Dr. Tim Keller submitted. And it's a good article and well-reasoned, excellent, as Dr. Keller does, and a lot of things. But let me just go over that article, because this is Keller's name is prominent. Most people will know who Dr. Tim Keller is. This is what he wrote in his op-ed. He's entitled, "How Do Christians Fit Into a Two-Party System? They Don't." Dr. Tim Keller argues that Christians don't fit into a two-party system and that they are pushed towards two main options. He also states Christians should not identify the Christian church or faith with a political party as the only Christian one. My response is, in the past, this would certainly have been true, and there would have been no argument. However, things are different today. For instance, when one political party in our two-party system votes into law that which is godless in every way and disciples others, especially our children, Jerry, in this same godlessness while in public schools, and when the other party does not and even upholds the moral law, isn't this party the only one supporting Christian teachings, especially in the area of biblical marriage, born and unborn children, and gender? Aren't we just stating the obvious? I would say it this way: where there is clear evidence that one party supports Christian values and the other party absolutely does not and even opposes Christian values at every opportunity, doesn't common sense show us the foolishness of not identifying with the supporter of Christian values? Christian, that I would want your hearers, Jerry, listeners this morning, to underline this statement of mine. Christians don't have to agree 100% of a party platform, but they do have to agree 100% with God's moral law. And that was my response back to Tim Keller, as he stated, how do Christians fit into a two-party system? They don't. And then Christians should not identify with a Christian church or faith with a political party. But I'm just stating the obvious, Jerry. And so I hope your listeners do understand that and will think about that, you know, the next time they vote or they read anything, just to be alert to that.
All right. You said that there are reasons for the church being silent in politics. These are not necessarily reasons you would agree with, but you just want to kind of explain why we have this phenomenon. I mean, it's like the world's on fire and many Christians are just sort of, you know, acting as if it's all business as usual.
Right. Well, I've come up with the fourth reason I just went over. It's just, to me, naivete on the part of Dr. Keller. And again, I admire him, but I think in this area, he's just not an expert. I would say that there are other people. Miriam Bell with World Magazine would be an expert in this area. She worked on Capitol Hill. She worked for Senator Grassley for years with Chuck Colson. And Miriam Bell really understands this area very, very well. These are the people that I would lean on for understanding. But the first reason I had jotted down was separation of church and state. You know that well. Dr. Kennedy knew that well, and y'all both wrote on that. Jerry, you are more of an expert in this area than I am, but let me just say briefly what that means to me. First, separation of church means to me that it's freedom of religion is guaranteed under the First Amendment of the Constitution. That's what separation of church means to me, the first thing. The second thing that it means, and these are all a part of our law and part of our understanding, it comes from the Johnson Amendment, where all 501c3 nonprofit organizations are prohibited from endorsing or opposing political candidates. I don't have a problem with that. My dad was a civil servant for the state of Louisiana. He worked for the governors. He could not, publicly endorse them. So I don't have a problem with that at all. It's not complicated. To me, it's very reasonable. But I would say let the buyer beware. In our age, some legislators consider teaching what the Bible says about morality as hate speech, or hate speech, and they would like to prohibit your hate speech, my hate, what we have to say about the Bible. Word of caution is not intended to frighten your listeners, Jerry, but to show a biblical response of continuing to teach in the name of Jesus, Acts 4:20, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Matthew 16:19. I don't know if you have any response to that, Jerry, but I have another reason. I can go over that as well.
Okay. Let me just clarify here what you're overall saying. You're saying that some of the reasons people are silent is because of their understanding about church and state. And by the way, there is a sense in which the founders created a system whereby there would be a separation of the institution of the church from the institution of the state. And this, you know, basically, you know, you talk to any constitutional expert about the historical aspects of the First Amendment, and this is how the First Amendment begins. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And constitutional attorneys and experts will tell you that basically what the founders meant by the first clause, the establishment clause, so-called, is that there would be no established church in America by the government. So in other words, like they had the Church of England, they have the Church of England, which is the Anglican Church. In America, it's the Episcopal Church. That is the church in England by law established effectively. Now, there's a lot more latitude that nonconformists have in today's terms in England. But in previous times, you know, when the Puritans and the Pilgrims fled and so forth from England, they were fleeing so that they could practice their Christianity as they understood it. But as far as church and state, I think in America we've had a overall very positive experience of religious freedom and religious growth, because you are not compelled to join any particular church. You're not forced against your will, which is what was happening, and this is why people fled Europe. Now, the interesting thing is sometimes the atheists and secularists of today are saying, yeah, they fled basically religious oppression so that they could be free to be secular here in America. Well, the free to be secular is kind of a byproduct of the free to believe what you wish here in America, but it wasn't the impetus. The impetus was freedom of conscience, freedom of religion.
Right.
So, okay, what was the second and third?
I think we have about three minutes left.
Go ahead.
3 minutes. Okay, but just briefly, I think there are churches today that are they're afraid of the government. They don't want to speak out. You know, they don't want to speak out on the moral issues of the day. I understand that fear. But if they can just keep in mind that the Johnson Amendment is not going to prohibit that, and that freedom are guaranteed under the Constitution, freedom of speech is, and freedom of religion is certainly not going to prohibit that. These are the only things that they need to keep in mind. Now, the second reason that I have, which is not really that complicated, but it takes a little bit of explanation. Dr. John Frame summarized it. This is kingdom theology. This is a lot of churches view separation of church and state in their kingdom theology, how they view the ultimate kingdom, how God set it up. John Frame summarized it for me just recently. Martin Luther followed some medieval thinkers who argued that God divided the world into two spheres, the sacred and the secular, and God ruled these in different ways. He rules the sacred by his word through the church, and he rules the secular by the kingdom, kingdom by the state. Christians are to honor both spheres of authority, but on this view, the church may be concerned only with the sacred and the state only with the secular. In my view, this division between the two spheres is not biblical. Scripture does not limit the church's authority to a sacred sphere or the state's authority to the secular. Rather, the limits on church authority and the limits on state authority are simply the limits on these institutions indicated in Scripture. As for the church's work in proclaiming God's word, it covers all areas of human life. One example is from 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But we live in a time, Jerry, that is precarious. We live in a time where evil is all around us and with our legislators. And I would warn them that, something else is coming down the pike. Mm. There's something else that we may not be seeing. And if I could, I don't know how much time I have left. Could I end on
a minute and a half.
This
Go
illustration?
Ahead. Sure.
Okay, this illustration from a movie, 7 Days in May, where literally life imitates art. It's a movie by John Frankenheimer. Here is a quote from the movie, President Jordan Lyman. All right, Colonel, let's sum it up, shall we? You're suggesting what, Colonel Casey? I'm not sure, Mr. President. Some possibilities, what we call our capabilities in military intelligence. President Lyman, you got something against the English language, Colonel? No, sir. Then speak it up plainly, if you will. I'm suggesting, Mr. President, there's a military plot to take over the government. Now, I'm not suggesting a military plot, but I am suggesting, Jerry, that there is a plot, there has been a plot to redefine our government. It's going on now, and I don't think it's going to get better unless the church wakes up. We're the most powerful voice on planet Earth, and we need to use that, the power of the pulpit and the spiritual power that we have. These are the moral issues of our day. We have every right to speak up on the moral issues of our day.
So, in other words,
I would encourage
everybody
to view that movie. It's a great movie, 7 Days in May.
All right, and we'll end with this note or observation from Martin Luther King Jr., who said that the church is the conscience of the nation. And so, you know, and someone else said, as the pulpit goes, so goes the country. Charlie Rodriguez, thanks so much for joining us. TanglewoodPublishing.org for more information. Thanks for this food for thought.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.